In reflecting on the generosity of God, Pastor John MacArthur says this, "You ask for the gift, He gives the giver. You ask for the effect, He gives the cause. You ask for the product, He gives the source. He gives you according to His riches, not out of His riches. You ask God, as it were, going to the bank, you ask for some money, He gives you the bank." That's the point. He's speaking of the grace of God in answering prayer. However, the same principle is true for God's blessings and justification. When you trust in Christ, God justifies you. Though we are guilty, God, as a free gift, declares us righteous in Christ. Though that is a great gift in itself, justification carries with it tremendous additional blessings. Today on Delight in the Word, Pastor Ed Fedor continues to share the knowledge of those blessings from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Let's open our Bibles and ready our hearts as we together delight in the Word. Number 3, eternal perspective on suffering. That's another blessing of justification, eternal perspective on suffering. Paul makes this amazing statement. He says, verse 3, not only do we rejoice in all of those things, we rejoice in our sufferings. What? Paul? What are you saying? How does that make any sense? James said the same thing. He said, "Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds." What? Suffering isn't easy. Most of us would probably say we love our salvation. We love our justification. Thank you, God. But we kind of dislike suffering. If we had an option, we'd probably choose not to have it. Thank you very much. Suffering is hard. Suffering is unpleasant. Rejoice in it. Does Paul know something about suffering that we don't? Yeah, he does. He knows that suffering has a divine purpose in the hands of a good and wise God. He knows that God is at work in us, in our suffering. Verses 3 and 4. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Here's something you always need to remember. Listen to this. Your suffering is never without meaning. Your suffering is never just random, pointless pain. Never. God is always, always, always working in and through your hardships. God doesn't waste any second of it. He is always doing 100 things at once. In your pain, He is drawing you closer to Himself. He is giving you strength when your strength fails. He is magnifying His grace in your life. He is building your faith. He is shaping your character. He is rooting out sin in your life. He is preparing you for ministry to other hurting people. He is preparing you for rewards and glory. He is getting glory as others watch you go through your suffering faithfully. And 100 other really important things. Things you don't always think about, you don't always readily see when your eyes are focused on your pain. Your suffering is never meaningless. The purpose for suffering we see here in these verses is God's purpose to build your character and your hope. The Bible is clear that God is laser focused on your growth in Christ. He never simply saves you to save you from judgment. That's never the end, only. God is working hard to make you more like His Son.
God is working hard on your soul to shine you up so that you would reflect the glory of God more and more and reflect the beauty of Jesus. That's what he's up to. Listen to how Paul says it in Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. It's a passage we looked at before. It's a passage about marriage, but it's way more than about marriage. Listen to what Paul says about what he's doing in the lives of all believers. He says, husbands, love your wives. Ephesians 5, 25 and following. Husbands, love your wives. Good. How? As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Why? So that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. This is God's purpose, and this is what God is up to in the church. The church is made up of all those who believe, you and I who believe. You and I are the church, and Jesus' purpose is to shine you up and make you holy so that you would reflect the glory of Christ. He's doing a lot of things in your suffering, but this is big. This is what he's up to. Our Savior is all about your holiness. He's all about making the church his spotless bride. And we all love and we lean on Romans 8:28. A lot of you have memorized it. It's a comforting verse about how God is working all things together for good, right? We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, who's working all these things together for good? They're not working themselves out. God is working them together. He's working them together for our good. What's good? What good is God up to? Is he all about smoothing out your life? About making everything easier and more convenient for you? Nope. Those things are not bad things. They're wonderful things and they happen from time to time. The good that God is after is your growth in godliness. The next verse says, Romans 8:29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. He wants you to be more like Jesus. And that's the great good, that you be conformed to or reflect the image of Christ. But what's the reality? The reality is that you and I only reflect Christ only so much right now. And we resist his holiness. We resist God's sanctifying work in us way too often. We resist the rule and reign of Christ in too many corners of our lives. So, God is graciously and lovingly chipping away at the things that are keeping you from submitting to the rule and reign of Christ in your heart. He is lovingly and graciously chipping away at the things that are keeping you smelling like you and not like Jesus. It's God's benevolent means of surgically removing the disease that's making you sick. And it's smudging up the image of Christ. And then he's drawing you toward holiness. And that, my friends, is good. That's good. You have to walk with eyes of faith and see that that's good. You have to see that it's good because it's our good, God's good purpose for our lives. It's God's good purpose for us that we reflect his glory. But as much as we might want it some other way, God in his perfect wisdom uses all kinds of means, including pain, including suffering, including pressures, to make us like his son. Paul Tripp said, God will take you where you haven't intended to go in order to produce in you what you could not achieve on your own. And as he applies the pressure, God in his love doesn't leave us alone. He lovingly walks with us. He strengthens our weak knees. By his Spirit, he gives us grace upon grace to walk with him. He gives us peace in our souls, and he spurs us on to godliness. Again, Paul Tripp, we must remember that our suffering is not in the way of God's plan, but it's part of it. In our suffering, God is not only with us, he is also employing it to change us and those to whom we minister. There's a phrase we've all heard that was coined in 1888. I bet you didn't know who coined this phrase. It's the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche. And it goes like this. Bet you didn't expect to hear him in a sermon this morning. Out of life's school of war, that's the part you didn't know. Out of life's school of war, what doesn't kill me makes me stronger. You've heard it, right? Is it true? Well, yes and no. I kind of like the way Paul said it better. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Now, let me say this. Suffering does not automatically produce endurance and godly character. Suffering will make you stronger. It will produce godly character if you suffer faithfully. What do I mean? If you start facing a storm and you go into your hardship kicking and screaming and cursing God, do not expect spiritual fruit. But if you go into your hardship with eyes of faith, yes, weak eyes of faith, but eyes of faith and the mind and perspective of God, your suffering will accomplish much good in your life. Now, I know full well that you and I are pretty weak a lot of the time. We get slammed by a serious storm, and we, at least at first, retreat to our bedroom and we have a good cry. Or we get knocked off our feet. I know what that feels like. I'm feeling it right now. I totally get it. We are human, and we are not always Superman when the tornado rips through the neighborhood. No one says that suffering is easy, but you do not learn endurance unless there is something to endure. God wants to help you back up on your spiritual feet. He wants to give you eyes of faith, and he wants to strengthen you in your inner person by his Spirit. How can you not waste your suffering? If God is working in it and through it and in your life and in your soul, he's doing deep work in your soul, how do you not waste the suffering that you are going through? Let me suggest some things. These are not the only things. You find yourself going into a Category 4, Category 5 storm, and the winds are gusting hard. Stop and pray. Acknowledge your pain before God. God knows it. God cares deeply about your pain. Ask him to give you eyes of faith to see what he's up to in your hardship. Ask him to give you strength to surrender to his perfect wisdom and not fight him at this time. Thank him for the grace that he gives you. The Lord told the Apostle Paul when Paul was suffering under the thorn in his flesh, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." Thank God for the grace that he gives you. Learn to honestly and sincerely praise God for his goodness and his wisdom and his love in your suffering. Praise the Lord in the midst of your suffering. Thank God for his mercy and compassion and loving kindness that he is going to dump on you by truckloads along the way. Search the scriptures. Read the Psalms. Read 1 Peter. Read 2 Corinthians. And look for passages and verses that speak to your hardship. Speak to the goodness of God. Speak to the promises that God gives you. And memorize some promises. Commit them to your memory. Sink them deep into your heart and believe him. Ask God to search your heart and reveal any sin that he might be rooting out. Seek out the strength that comes from fellowship with solid believers in this church. Lean on one another. We need each other. Don't retreat. Confess your anxiety and your fears to the Lord. God gives grace to the humble. Ask God for the courage to face your suffering with trust and peace in your soul. Look for ways that you can minister to others in their pain. Share with them what you're going through, what you're learning, and how God is demonstrating his love and grace in your own experience. Support one another. And do these things often. Psalm 105:4 says, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually." Don't retreat into yourself. Seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord. And pray and worship and gain strength from him. And God will turn your anxiety and your fear to joy and peace in your soul. It's a peace that passes all understanding when you submit your anxieties to him with thankfulness in your hearts. And as you walk by faith, you'll develop endurance for the next time. As you see God's faithfulness before, you'll see it again. It gives you endurance. God will work character into your life. And your hope in God will grow as you see his power, as you see his love, as you see him being faithful to you and demonstrating mercy to you. And you see it up close and personal as you walk with him through the storm. 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18. Powerful verse. "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, eyes focused on pain, but as we look to things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Commit those verses to memory. A huge blessing of justification is an eternal perspective on suffering. And the last blessing of justification we see in this text is assurance of the love of God. Assurance of the love of God. Verse 5, "And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." You know, you can endure a lot of things if you know without a doubt that you are deeply loved. It's been on full display in my life by my dear and incredible wife and my dear brothers in Christ in this church. And you are loved by God, friends. You are loved by God. When you are justified by faith in Christ, you are his. You are his child. You have been adopted into his family, and you are loved. You are now joint heirs with his son. He will never cast you off. God loves you, and he will never stop loving you. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. The hope that you have in Christ will never disappoint you. It will never let you down because the hope we have is rooted in the promises of God. It's rooted in the power of God to keep his promises. It's rooted in the faithfulness of God who never lies. John Stott said, "What is the ultimate ground on which our hope rests, our hope of glory? It is the steadfast love of God. The reason our hope will never let us down is that God will never let us down. His love will never give us up." Paul said to you, believer, that God's love has been poured into your heart through the Holy Spirit who has been given to you. In the giving of His Spirit, He has lovingly sealed you and guaranteed your salvation. He has given you power to live in holiness, and He is assuring you of your salvation, and He reminds you of the unfailing loving kindness of God. So where do you look to see the love of God for you? Where do you look? Look to the cross. Look to the cross. Listen to what John Stott says about the love of God here. He said, "In order to grasp the love of God, we need to remember that the essence of loving is giving. Moreover, the degree of love is measured partly by the costliness of the gift to the giver and partly by the worthiness or unworthiness of the beneficiary. The more the gift costs the giver, and the less the recipient deserves it, the greater the love is seen to be. Measured by these standards, God's love in Christ is absolutely unique. Listen, for in sending His Son to die for sinners, He was giving everything." His very self to those who deserved nothing from Him except judgment. The love of God in Christ can never be taken from you. Paul put it like this, Romans 8:38 to 39, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Some of you are going through some really heavy things right now, life-changing things. And if it's smooth sailing for you right now, listen to Romans 5. Prepare your heart for the struggles that are going to come, because they will come. Be careful not to retreat into yourself. Know that God is right there walking with you every step of the way. He is carrying you. Take time to seek the Lord every day. Preach the truth to yourself. Remind yourself of the benefits of justification. Don't leave these incredible truths hidden behind the wall. Never forget what you have in Christ. Remind yourself of the steadfast love of the Lord. Learn to walk by faith and not by sight. Look for ways to minister to others in their struggle. And God will do the deep work in your soul that only He can do. Let's pray. Lord, thank You that You love people like us. Thank You that You demonstrated Your love and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank You that You offered us not only forgiveness, but righteousness. Thank You that You have delivered all who are justified by faith in Christ from judgment and wrath. Lord, if there is anyone here who has not yet trusted You as Savior, would You do a work in their soul? Would You draw them? Would You remind them of the gospel that was shared this morning? and all those who are going through heavy things right now, would you minister to their souls? Remind them of the truth. Remind them of the beauty of Jesus Christ and what he has done for them. Strengthen weak knees, I pray. Give us eyes of faith that we might see all the good that you are doing in our lives, even in our hardships. Be glorified, we pray, in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening today. If you'd like to listen again, you can find the program on our website at delightintheword.org, or you can find the program where you listen to your podcasts. This program has been brought to you by Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. May the Lord bless you until next time as we together delight in the Word.